start a brand new study into one of my favorite gospels. Now, everybody asks me all the time, said, you know, if you're a new Bible student, where should you begin? I mean, should I go to Genesis or where, you know, where's a good place to start if I'm a new student of the Bible? And I tell people all the time, start with the Gospel of John. It doesn't get any better than the Gospel of John. But any of the four Gospels. Because you start there looking at the life of Jesus. And all that he was involved with from the time of his miraculous birth into his ascension into heaven. The four Gospels have it. They all have just a little different story to tell. A lot of it is similar, and some of it is not. Now, what I love about the Gospel of John, now, in our men's Sunday school room, we're studying Revelation right now, which, of course, we know John wrote that as well. But in the Gospel of John is where we see some miracles that he performs that you'll never see anywhere else in the Bible. I'm going to point every one of those out during this study. We're not going to necessarily take this verse by verse. It'll take a long time. But we're going to look at every one of the parables. We're going to look at every one of the miracles that Jesus performed. But in this introduction, we're just going to look at the first 12 verses and let you get an idea of just how John opens up this gospel. Are you ready to take the study with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The life of Jesus is seen through the Gospel of John. All right, Larry, here we go. All right, in the beginning. Now, you've seen that phrase in other places too, haven't you? Huh? In the beginning, Genesis, yeah. In the beginning was the Word. I'm going to walk through something. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see any common denominator there? The same was in the beginning with God. Now, everywhere that you see the word Word in the first verse, put Jesus. It means the same thing. In the beginning was what? Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. This is John's way of saying that from the very beginning of time, Jesus has always been a part of God. Now, he became flesh, came to this earth at a certain time in history, but he's always been a part of God. I want you to make sure you see this. This is a major teaching right here within this gospel here. Okay? This is what John's trying to tell us. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, God what? The Holy Spirit. They're all within the same person. You understand that? I want you to make sure you understand. This is very important to understand this. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that has been made. That's a pretty powerful statement. Everything is a gift from God. He's made it all. Now, we're all flesh. At one time, we came in this world through a woman. We were a baby. We were flesh. We're still flesh. I didn't want to move your head there, but you're still flesh. Okay? All right? But we were made by God. Now, it doesn't mean we cannot reject God. But we were made by God. Everything. The clouds. This earth. The animals. Everything that has breath, life, has color, is all made by God. With me so far, say amen.
Amen.
That's important to know. John wants to make sure that you you know this before we even get in to looking at the life of John. I mean, from the life of Jesus. He wants you to see where Jesus has been around forever and ever. Yes, he does become flesh. Yes, he does. He is born of a virgin. So say that again. He's born of a virgin. Okay? Man was not his father. God was his father. Alright? So, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that has been made. Alright, right? In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Who are we still talking about here?
Jesus.
Exactly. In him was life. He brought to us eternal life. And the life was the light of men. Now look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness apprehended it not. Or the darkness understood it not. Or the darkness rejected it. Light, Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Light. Darkness is another famous word of saying evil and sin. We call it sin. Okay? You get this? Now the light shineth even among Satan. Satan cannot put the light out. Now he can aggravate you to death, and he can cause you to reject the light, but he cannot take that light out. Period. Okay? And evil understood it, apprehended, could care less. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, this is not John the gospel writer. This is John who? John the Baptist. This is a neat guy. Neat character. A little on the wild side. Bless his heart, he didn't know but one message. See, I've been preaching here now, I'm in my 31st year. Sometimes I keep thinking, what in the world can I do? What can I say? After all these many years that Alice and Dale Hawkins hadn't already heard. And Gene Cookson. Gene's heard it all. 31 years. I can't reinvent the wheel. But the only thing I got going for me is I say this all the time. I got a congregation whose memory's not worth a nickel. I can preach on the same thing every week and it's just like it's all brand new to Gene. I'm telling you. That's right. That's right. Now, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. Let's get introduced to John the Baptist. Okay, Larry. The same came for witness, that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came that he might bear witness of the light. There was the true light, even the light which lighteth every man coming into the world. Now, John the Baptist was, if you will, the evangelist of the day. He went around proclaiming, preaching, baptizing that there was one coming who would be able to forgive sins. One that was coming, that would make a sacrifice for each and every person who would believe in him would have salvation. He preached this, and he preached this, and he preached this. Now, a lot of people made fun of him, especially when he went around baptizing people, dunking them in the water. I mean, people just had a field day with this guy. They thought, there wasn't no mental homes back then, but they thought they needed to put him in there. I mean, who's he talking about, and what is he talking about? But he was called out by God to lay the groundwork, if you will, to say Jesus is coming. Now today, evangelists and preachers do the same thing, except what we preach now is Jesus is coming again. He's already been here once. Came and spent 33 years here, died on a Calvary's cross for you. Spent 40 days around here taking care of business, and then ascended into heaven, and they just sat there and looked. And the angel said, what are you doing? He said, we're watching Jesus. They said, well, don't do that. Because this same Jesus left. Remember, he left in a visible way. They saw him go in the cloud. They said, he's what? He's coming what? Back in the same manner. But in the meantime, don't sit up and look in the sky. It's time to go to work. It's time to tell the world about Jesus Christ. It's good for us to think about it. And believe me, in the world in which we live in today, we should be thinking about the rapture of the church. Because, I mean, it's in our lifetime, folks. It's around the corner. Everything in God's Word has been fulfilled. I tell you this week after week, keep an eye on the Middle East. This is where everything's going to go down. It's a mess over there. It's going to continue to be a mess over there. And let me say this to you. All of the ducks are in the same row for the trumpet to sound tonight. I believe that. So, now, we understand this. To those of us who understand it, we're in God's house. This is where we need to be. Christian people need to be in God's house. Wherever your church is, this one, that one, wherever it may be, where they're preaching Jesus, where they're teaching Jesus, and where they're preaching he's coming again and coming soon. Because, folks, one of the greatest surprises of all times is going to hit a lot of people on a church road. And we call it being left behind. You talk about a crying shame. I promise you, with everything that's within me, as bad as people talk about the world is today, believe me, the world's in bad shape. We see it. The killings, the shootings. 19-year-old kids going in and killing 17 people in Florida. I mean, it's every week. We're seeing all this. But I still promise you this. As bad as you think it is, we've seen nothing compared to the people, what they're going to see that's going to be left behind after this trumpet sounds. And here's what really frustrates me. A lot of them are going to be people on a church roll. Because church roll don't save you. You can be a member of 100 churches. That don't mean nothing to Jesus. Okay? It doesn't mean anything. What means something to Jesus is what's inside of you. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? Do you live for Jesus? Do you live like you know Jesus? Do you attend church? And do you care about that? Do you care how you act? What you say? Where you go? We talk all this time about in the world of witnessing. You know, witness is simply this. The greatest witness under God's word is when church people get under stress. And then we see how they act. Let's put all of us under a little bit of stress. And let's see how the true character comes out. Let's let money get tight. Let's let our health issues go south. Let's let a loved one die. Let's let us lose our job. Let's let something happen that puts us under some kind of stress. And then we come to find out what we're made out of. Because usually what happens, one or two things will happen with the course of how life leads its way. Either you're going to worship God or you're going to blame God. And it's one or two ways. And when things don't seem to go right, we have a lot of people that seem to want to put the blame on God. You know, God, here, I've done this for you, I've done that, I've wrote many checks, I've been to your church, I've been to this, and here, everything I touch is falling apart. What is your problem, God? What is your problem? The trouble of it is, folks, is that attitude has everything to do. When I'm in trouble, I don't need to run from God, I need to run to God. Amen. And another thing, yes, how do you run? I say this all the time here. How do you run away from God without running into him anyway? The more I run away from him, the more I'm running into him. I can't outrun God. I mean, that's crazy thinking. And yet Satan gets us that way. Because we feel like somehow or another, if we don't come to church, or if we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we're just going to punish God. I've never heard of such a term. God. All you're doing is punishing yourself. How do you punish God? There's no such way of punishing God. And yet, God has a sense of humor. And I thank God he's got a sense of humor. Because if he didn't laugh, he might spank. Sometimes he has to hide it, Roger, and then if I keep it up, then he might start spanking. But a lot of times he just looks at me and says, oh, Roger, you're so stupid. But you'll wake up tomorrow, and the reason God knows that is because he knows tomorrow, and I don't. You know, that's the way it is. I understand that God cares for you and I. And we understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all of this that John is going to teach us over these next months in the gospel is some of the greatest teachings on the planet, because it tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That comes out of the gospel of John. I quote that in almost every funeral that you've ever heard me preach. I will preach that. Also comes out of the Gospel of John is, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, what? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many what? Mansions. That comes out of this Gospel too. I mean, this is some of the greatest comfort that there is on the planet. Now, some preachers will say, you know, in my Father's house are many rooms. I like mansions. Anything God made me. I've seen rooms. Every time I get over the last part of Revelation, that looks like a mansion to me. Streets of gold and all that kind of stuff. That's more like a mansion to me. That ain't no room somewhere. You get the picture? Say amen. All right, Larry, let's finish up. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world knew him not. Isn't that the same? He came to this world to love, and the world put him on a cross, rejected him, spit on him. He wanted nothing to do with him. He came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. He even went back to his hometown. They spit on him too. They wanted nothing to do with him. But I promise you, there's come a day that every spit on him, the people who made fun of him, the people who have laughed at him, the people who have cussed him, they're going to hear some of the worst words that's ever put to ever going to hear. Depart from me, I never knew you. Wow. I promise you, you don't want any of your kids, any of your parents, your spouse, anybody at all that you love to hear this. The awfulest words that come from anywhere. We've all mourned over losing Billy Graham this week. My lands have mercy. What a man of God. Reached millions and millions and millions of people. And yet one of the most humblest people that you ever meet. And as Rick and I were talking earlier, he wasn't that he was, I think, a very good preacher. But some may argue there have been better preachers. But here's the thing that you've got to really respect about Billy Graham. Billy Graham was more than just a minister. He was a man of God, and he took that very seriously. And in that was, he watched every move that he made, every step that he made, every place that he went. He made sure that not his reputation, that wasn't what he was worried about, but that the reputation of Jesus was intact wherever he went. That was important. Should be important to us. People are going to make fun of us, they're going to laugh at us, they're going to call us whatever. Some people will like you, some people will love you, you know, whatever. But don't ever understand. Don't ever make fun of my Jesus. Make fun of me, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. He is the Son of God. And all the mistakes that I've ever made in life, the Lord knows I've made enough of them to sing about it. He still loves me, still cares for me, still, in all of my health issues, keeps me standing preaching the Word of God 40-something years. All that is simply because, not anything of me, but because of everything with Him. And that's what it's about. He came to his own, they received him not. But as many I hope you're part of the many. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now let's just don't just skip over this. Look at this. But as many as received him, you've got to receive him in your heart. You got to believe him. You didn't see Jesus down on the cross. You knew you weren't alive at that time. You have read God's word and you believe the Bible to be the word of God. And what it tells us, we believe that to be the truth. We accept that through faith. You have to accept Jesus Christ through faith. Because we did not see him go to the cross, but we believe that he did. And we believe that if I was the only one alive, he still would have gone to that cross for me. The cross is very personal. It's personal because it saved you personally. Big deal, okay? You can't save your family. You can't save your friends. All you can do is save yourself by believing in Jesus Christ. And then you hope that they see what excellence is in you, that they say, hey, there's something there that I want too. And we call that being a witness for Jesus. Well, it says, as many as received him, they believe, they accept it, and then they make it public. I don't know how many people tell me all that ask me this over 45 years. Why, when you give an invitation to him, why do I got to bother for him? Why do I want to prayer check your hand? Why can't I just say something to you after church? Why do I have to be baptized in front of everybody? Why? Simply this. Jesus taught us this. He said, if you believe in me, you're not going to be ashamed of me. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus Christ. And he said, everything that I did in my 33 years, I did in a public way. I expect my people to do it in a public way. You stand up for something. This old country song says, you better stand up for something or you'll fall for anything. You stand for Jesus. You're not be ashamed. You come forward. You say, I want to be saved. I want to be baptized. I want to join the church. I want to be seen. Not for me. Not for my sake. But I want to be counted. I'm on the Lord's side. For as many as received him, to them gave he, or them, the right to become children of God. That's a right and a privilege. You understand that? It's a privilege for you to be a part of the family. You just don't realize how big a privilege it is until you take that last breath and you go be with Jesus to see what all Jesus has done for you, what all he has prepared for you. Anytime that I do a funeral, I say this same phrase because I read it out of the Gospel of John. It says that Jesus, again, went home to prepare a place for us. And if I go, I will come again. I say this all the time. Heaven is a prepared place for what? Prepared people. You don't get prepared, you don't sit. But if you're prepared from the moment you take your last breath on this planet, you are with Jesus. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Even to them that believe on his name. Now this last phrase is really important. You know why? Because that's talking about us. See, the first phrase is talking about all those who listened to Jesus at the time he was alive. But now we're the ones that believe on his name. See, I didn't see him. But I believe on the name of Jesus. I wasn't around here 2,000 years ago. I didn't walk with Jesus yet, but I believe on the name of Jesus Christ. So that means I'm also have the right to be a child of God because I believe in the name of Jesus, even though I wouldn't hear and I didn't see him. See how important that is? Don't skip over the small stuff to understand it. That's why I love teaching. To them that believe on his name, hopefully that is every one of us. Because his name means everything, folks. It's a difference between life and death in a literal form. Because really, folks, death is just a door. Man, it's tough. It's tough. I've done 700 something funerals. I mean, I have been a part of seeing people die and see families hurt. But I'm telling you right now, buddy, at a Christian funeral, it is a celebration. We miss them, we mourn, we do all that, but I'm here to tell you, folks, a homecoming is around the corner. It's around the corner for every one of us who love the Lord. I miss my mom and dad. Lord knows. Mom said right there, remarks said all the time. And I know, you know, that Steve misses his mom, and Jewel just said here not too long ago. But I'm here to tell you, folks, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You know that? He really is. Rick was married to one of the sweetest ladies on the planet. They are homecoming's around the corner. Homecoming's around the corner. It's around the corner not because of anything we've done. It's around the corner because of everything Jesus has done. Well, give the Lord a hand. All right, Mark, we have an invitation there, sir. Okay, let's stand. Is every head is bowed or every eye is closed? Father, in the precious and holy name of Jesus, Father, as we begin this study in the Gospel of John, Father, I pray for our congregation and our people. May we truly, truly appreciate this gospel and all this in it as we study the life of Christ. And Father, if there be one here tonight on this Saturday evening that is lost and does not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, it is my prayer that before we leave this room, they will come and say, Brother Roger, I will be saved. I don't care if you're young, I don't care if you're old. It's the greatest decision you'll make in your life. Maybe you need a quiet time at this altar for whatever reason. We're going to invite you to come. Maybe you need me to just have a word of prayer with you. I would be glad to do that. Jesus and your Spirit is in this place. Jesus, thank you for your amazing grace this hour. Jesus' name, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, would you come in the name of Jesus?